Scripture lesson today comes from 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 through 20. You know, in respect to the Super Bowl, we need to remember that at the start of the NFL season, there were 32 teams that had the same goal, and that was to win the Super Bowl. 30 teams, that goal is gone. Only two teams can reach that goal, and only one will actually make it. And the NFL does not give any gifts as far as deciding who's going to win. Whoever wins the Super Bowl will have earned it. Now, as much as this Super Bowl is kind of an interesting sidelight to our culture, it does not represent the deepest longing of humanity. We were made to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Forever. And unlike the NFL, where only one person will win, one team will win, many, many people will be able to achieve the goal of being restored to God. You see, the reason people do not glorify God and enjoy Him right now is because of sin. But God has done something, and unlike the NFL that gives no gifts, God has given us the gift of salvation, deliverance from our sin, reconciliation to God our Father. And also with that, when we are born again by faith, we are given the gift of sanctification. That's the process here on earth of becoming more Christ-like. These are gifts. And we enter that gift by our faith in Christ. But the fulfillment of the gift, of sanctification, becoming more Christ-like, will not happen until Jesus returns again. And so even though this is a gift from God, it's also for us a goal in our lives. Once we come to faith in Christ, we want to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. And in that cooperation, allow the Spirit of God to transform us from inside out through Christ. It's interesting, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul refers to both the goal and the gift of sanctification. Let me read a couple of verses, beginning in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians verse 1. Paul says, "Finally, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more." Here's a goal for Christians. Find out what pleases God. Look to His Word. Make this the goal of your life, to live in a way that pleases Him. But the reality of it is, we can't do that apart from God's grace at work within us. It's a cooperative thing. And so we look at 1 Thessalonians 5, as Paul wraps up this letter, verse 23. He says, "May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." Sanctify means to set you apart, make you holy. May God make you holy through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when Christ comes again, our whole being, spirit, soul, and body, will be pure, sanctified by the work of God. Now, here's the interesting thing. Again, Paul's writing in a Greek culture that separated body from soul. But he says, may your whole body, soul, and spirit all be set apart, sanctified by God. Now, spirit and soul kind of overlap. They're the immaterial part. But in body is obviously our body, the physical. But it's important to note, Paul is saying God is sanctifying the whole kit and caboodle. The Greeks separated the two. But the Hebrew biblical view is we are a whole. Now, yes, we can distinguish between our physical and the immaterial, but we're a whole. We do not exist apart from a body. And so God is sanctifying the whole body. That means that when we rise again, we don't just, in the next life, just some bodiless spirit. We will have a body. He's sanctifying us. And what I want to do in the next 2 weeks, today and next Sunday, is to dig deeper in what it means, how we cooperate with God in this sanctifying process. Today we're going to be seeing how we cooperate with the sanctifying of our body. Next week, we'll look at how we cooperate with the Lord in the sanctifying of our spirit and soul. So with that in mind, now we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 to 20. Earlier, I gave you a little background behind this, that what's going on at the Corinth church. And here is what Paul says. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body, and by the way there, the you and your are singular? In chapter 3, he speaks you plural. The whole body of Christ is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But here he's saying individually, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And then here's this wonderful phrase, therefore honor God with your body. We're going to see how we do that. We are very, actually, bodily conscious, whether in a healthy or unhealthy way. On display today at the Super Bowl are bodies that are finely tuned athletically. You're not going to see a 140-pound man that's 5'7" playing in the Super Bowl. And there's nothing wrong with 5'7", 140 pounds, but the types of body that get into the Super Bowl playing those games are not that type of body. Around this time of year, each year, now don't get ahead of me here, Sports Illustrated comes out with a swimsuit issue each year. No, I don't buy it, but you can't help but notice it because the newspapers always report about that. It's interesting because it has nothing to do with sports. They don't tell about what Sports Illustrated covers are the rest of the year. But it's about bodies, isn't it? Well, we identify each other by our bodies. Now, we know each other by our personalities, but we say, well, that's so-and-so. We identify by a body. Let me give you some contemporary examples. Let me show you, see if you can identify who this is. Who is that? Sherman. Richard Sherman. Okay, let's try another one. Okay. Russell, see, you can identify by the body. Now, here's another football player. Silas. Now, he's a little mixed up there because he's got a Steelers jersey on and a University of Michigan helmet, but that's his daddy, our son-in-law's favorites. But that was at Christmas time. Silas was dressed up. We recognized him right away. We recognize each other by our bodies. Now, we have to give attention to our bodies. You know, we some of us diet or watch our nutrition, and if our body's hurting, we go to the doctor. And we're not going to take a poll here, but probably all of us spent at least a few minutes, if not a lot more, this morning getting our body ready to be presentable, right? But it also can be an unhealthy type emphasis as well. There are some people who are so obsessed with their body that they go to exorbitant lengths to try to make it athletic enough or beautiful enough, and yet it's a futile attempt. And what happens in the process is their own identity, who they are, is unhealthily linked to their body image. And then there's those on the opposite side. They disdain their body. They don't like the frame that they're in. And they wish it could be something else. And that's an unhealthy emphasis upon the body. So where's the balance? How do we honor God with our body without being obsessed by it or disdaining it or dishonoring by our use? And that's what we want to dive into here. Now, the specific area that Paul is addressing here is how we use our body sexually. But he ends with a principle that is beyond just the sexual expression. It has to do with, you know, the total use of our body. But he starts off here, and actually this is a part of a longer paragraph he's dealing with the problem there. The libertine background Christians, some of them had come in and they hadn't grasped God's good purpose for us sexually, and they were still visiting prostitutes because that's what they had done before they became Christians. And Paul is saying, wait a minute, this is not healthy. And what he says here in verse 18, he says, flee from sexual immorality. The word he uses there for sexual immorality is porneia, from which we get pornography. And porneia was the broadest view of sexual immorality. He didn't use the word adultery, which is sex outside of marriage. But this is all forms of sexuality, sexual intercourse, outside of heterosexual marriage. That was what the term means. And he says flee. And the tense of this word flee is an active tense, meaning keep fleeing. Not just one time, because we live in a culture of temptation. Keep fleeing sexual immorality. Then he has an interesting comment here. All other sins that someone may commit are outside the body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. We think, wait a minute. Gluttony? Chemical addiction? Isn't that a sin against our body too? Well, yes. But he has a unique purpose here in how he's using the term body in the context here of sexual morality. Paul is thinking of this. You know, we can verbally convey to other people that we love them. We can say that we love them. We can use our body in healthy ways to convey love to many, many other people. We can shake their hands. We can give them hugs. But when it comes to sexual intercourse, Paul is referring, he actually, earlier in this passage, he referred back to Genesis 2:24. In creation, where God created Adam and Eve, and the two became one flesh. You see, the sexual intercourse is designed by God in a very unique way to bind together a husband and wife in a covenant of love. And to take that expression outside of that covenant is a sin against the very unique relationship that God has provided. It affects the body of both people involved. So he says, flee this, flee this. And then he goes on to give a reason. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? He's speaking of those who've accepted Christ. When we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes in. This is an incredible thought. The third person of the Trinity, God dwells in our body. We're his temple now. And it cost God greatly. Paul says you were bought with a price. And that price is the blood of Christ that we see at the communion table. Jesus shed his blood, gave up his body so that we might live and be forgiven and restored. So Paul says, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, in context here, he's speaking specifically about honoring God with our body sexually. And keeping that full expression of sexuality to within the confines of heterosexual marriage. But the principle, honor God with your body, goes beyond just that. Everything we do with our body. Now, we happen to live, like I mentioned earlier, in a revival of the libertine philosophy. Live in an age where if it feels good, do it. And no wonder outsiders would look at the biblical standards of sexuality and think, you guys are way out of touch with what's going on in the world. But are we? I'm not going to go off on a side here, but think of all the damage that is done in people's lives, including their bodies, because of not following God's healthy standards. We can go beyond STDs, unwanted pregnancies, to the more difficult emotional scars of damaged relationships. In fact, let me just read this. This comes out of the NIV commentary on this same section by Craig Bloomberg. He mentions this: the Christian view of sex, abstinence except in heterosexual marriage, makes good sense in our world, completely apart from Paul's primary rationale. Sexually transmitted diseases remain widespread. The dangers of unwanted pregnancies and potential abortions only compound the problem. But the most central Christian reason for limiting sex to husbands and wives deals with the permanent commitment that should be implied by interpersonal relations this intimate. Again, that's the unique intimacy of the sexual relations. In countless ways, women and men defy God and confidently proclaim that they can have sex without that commitment and without any destructive side effects, time and time again, they regret those choices. But this is not a sin we can test and then back off from. We must trust that God knows best. Once a person yields to temptation, in little or big ways, there are mental and emotional scars that may never entirely disappear, even though God's grace can bring substantial healing, and I would add, forgiveness. Praise God. So, how can we honor God with our body? Let me suggest three ways, three take-homes here. First, we can rejoice that God has chosen to inhabit our body and to sanctify it. That's worth celebrating. And friends, let me remind you, when we come to faith in Christ and the Spirit of God comes in and our body is His temple, He is not looking to see if we're athletic enough or beautiful enough. And when we get old and wrinkled and our hair starts falling out and stuff like that, He doesn't leave our body saying, well, you're no longer attractive. It's the faith in Christ that leads the Spirit of God to indwell us. And He is sanctifying us so that we know that when Christ comes again, we will have a restored, whole, immortal body that He has designed for us. We can rejoice in that. Now, the second way we honor God with our body is to repent from those ways that we dishonor God with our body. To repent is turn from, to say, Lord, I see now, I acknowledge that I have not used my body in a way that honors You. Now, in context again, that would be any sexual sin. Thank God He forgives us. And there's healing. A number of us here have prayed with people who have been deeply scarred in sexual sin. They've been sexually abused. They've been sinned against. We've seen great healing come. But we need to repent and seek God's forgiveness. And it's not just in that area. Our tongue is a part of our body, and our tongue can be used for life or death. And I know I, and I'm sure others here, have had to repent of using our tongue to hurt people rather than build them up. We need to repent and say, Lord, forgive me. Use my tongue for Your glory. Whatever it might be, we need. If we've not honored God with our body, then we repent and ask forgiveness and ask for new direction. And He gives it that. The work of sanctification. Third area where we can honor God with our body is to use our body to demonstrate or proclaim the love of Christ. Use our body to demonstrate that. After all, our body belongs to Him. We've been bought with a price. So let me suggest some ways we can use our body. In individual worship or corporate worship, we use our body to, we can raise our hands or get on our knees or dance around, and there's just all sorts of ways that we worship God with the freedom of our body. Now, people are wired differently. So some people they're bouncing. I mean, they can dance around and worship the Lord. Others are more subdued. But again, God's given us a body. Whether in our own personal worship or corporate worship, we have people that do the flagging. On Palm Sunday, we were talking about this morning. We're going to have our children and others bring in flags and dance around here celebrating the Lord's entrance to Jerusalem. That's worshiping using our body. But it doesn't stop there. We can bless others with our body. Again, using our tongue, we can bless others. We can speak in words that help build others up. Handshakes, hugs are all healthy ways of using our body to bless others and to share Christ. And we want to be ready as we say, Lord, use me, our whole being, spirit, soul, and body, to how the Holy Spirit may guide us. Let me just, as we get ready to come to the communion table, let me share something that happened over a year ago now. It was a year ago January when I was back at Dunamis Fellowship in North Carolina. Like I just was back a week ago. But at the conference a year ago, it was the last night of the conference, and there was a time of prayer. And different people there had been gathered into little groups here and there, praying for people and praying for one another. And I remember at the time, I was just kind of interceding. I was at the kind of the front of the room, just kind of looking over and just praying God's blessing. And towards the back, I saw a group of people, about four or five people praying around someone. I couldn't see who they were praying for. But I just sensed the Holy Spirit drawing me to go back there. So I went back, and I was just kind of standing right by this group, and I saw that they were praying for a young lady, probably about 19, 20 years old. And I'd seen her a few times at the conference, but I'd not met her. I didn't know her. And they were praying. And as they were praying, Mary Ellen, some of you met her. She's come out here. Mary Ellen Connors, who's the PRMI prayer coordinator. She was right by the group, just kind of interceding for them. And she just kind of quickly filled me in that this was a young lady who herself had been an abuse survivor, but was now, you know, a very strong Christian. And she had a heart to minister to people caught in human trafficking. And so she'd been doing this, but kind of going out on her own, and she was just, frankly, beat up, you know, spiritually from this going out and dealing with this area of darkness, but trying to minister Christ's love. And she was just kind of, you know, in a burnout stage. And the people around were just praying encouragement for her. And as I watched, I sensed just kind of a word the Lord gave me to pray. And as others were laying their hands on her shoulders, again, that's one of the areas where you're using your body in an appropriate way just to bless. And I just gently put my hand on her shoulder and prayed something. And then pretty soon, she began weeping. And Mary Ellen's a real discerner and recognized that she, you know, God was doing a work within her, kind of a cleansing work. And so Mary Ellen said she needs a father's love. And right about then, she looked at me and she said, "Someone give her a hug." And I knew that that was me. And that's why the Lord had brought me back there, kind of as a father figure. And so I just kind of began hugging her, and she just kind of, her head rested on my shoulder, and for about a minute, the group then just prayed around her. Healing prayer, restorative prayer, with a healthy touch of God's sanctifying work in her life. The Lord may use us at any time in a simple way, as a handshake or looking right into someone's eyes and saying, "Jesus loves you." You know, our body is a tool of the Lord, a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we want to honor the Lord with our body, because He is sanctifying it for His glory. And that brings us to the communion table, where Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body broken for you." In the same way, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood." Blood is the life of the body shed for you. Jesus did not hold back His body in giving His life for us, dying on the cross so that we might be set free. The invitation to the Lord's table here this morning is for those who put their faith in Christ. You don't have to be a member of this church or denomination, but we do ask that your faith is in Jesus Christ. And if that's not where you're at right now, that's okay. The Lord has you here because He wants you to be blessed, but you can just pass the elements aside. But the invitation is to those who trust Christ as Lord and Savior. I want to ask that we prepare our hearts for the receiving of these communion elements with a time of just surrender before the Lord. It may be you have a confession to make. Maybe you've not been honoring with the Lord with your body. Or there's maybe some other area, your spirit or soul, you haven't been honoring Him. Just bring this to the cross. Just say, "Lord Jesus, I acknowledge, I confess this, and I ask Your forgiveness." Do that and just prepare. Let's prepare our hearts to meet with the Lord at His table. Father, we thank you for the gift of quietness, the stillness, that we might still our hearts before you. Thank you for the gift of confession. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting us in a gentle way, not with condemnation, but with hope, that we can be set free. And so we thank you that as we confess our sins before you, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Lord, we are in awe at the sacrifice you have made. We can't fully grasp it. It's especially something beyond our comprehension that you were sinless. You didn't have to do this. And yet you gave yourself body, soul, and spirit so that we might be sanctified and brought back into the Father's loving arms. And so we thank you, Lord Jesus, for the completeness of your sacrifice. There's nothing we can do to earn your love, nothing we can do to remove us from your love. And so we thank you. And we ask that you would set aside these elements, consecrate them for their intended use of being implements of your grace, the grace at work in our hearts, sanctifying us as we cooperate with you. And as we partake of them, may you speak your wonderful truths into our hearts, that we are forgiven, restored, set free to serve you. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The bread, of course, represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave up his body for each one of us. And so may we receive this with glad hearts and go ahead and partake of it, this bread as you receive it. Jesus Christ shed for the forgiveness of sins. There is another way that the body term is used in Scripture, and that's the body of Christ, meaning all the believers. So we to collectively form Christ's body now here on earth. After all, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, not only individually, but collectively. So as you receive the cup, please hold on till all have been served, and then we will partake together. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for the assignment you give us this week to go ahead with anticipation of how we may serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, body, soul, and spirit. And so we pray that you would open up opportunities for us to be ambassadors of hope and healing, reconciliation. We pray that we would be ready with handshakes, with hugs, with using our body to convey your goodness, your love, even as we also submit our bodies to you to honor you with all that we do. We commit our tongues to you, our hands, our feet, our whole body, as instruments of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that you've first given yourself for us and held nothing back. Thank you now that you call us to give all to you and hold nothing back. What a blessing, what a privilege, knowing that you are sanctifying us through and through, and that perfection comes at the day, Lord Jesus, when you return. And until that time, we give ourselves to serve you with love and with honor. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.